Aaron. Special Judicus Love led Aaron through an unmarked door at the side of the lobby and into a small atrium. She turned to a door on her right and swiped her wrist over the control pad, the door unlocking in response. She pushed it open, bringing him into a short, sterile white corridor leading to a hidden lift in the corner of the building. The door closed behind them as soon as they entered, the LEDs along the ceiling dimming and turning a soft red. None of it bothered Aaron. He had been through the area before. Sensors in the room would scan him for contraband. Weapons, poisons, anything that could potentially be used to harm the chair of the civilian council. He had always thought it was a strange setup. Since the founding of Praetan, there had never been a single assassination attempt on a sitting chair. And if the people ever discovered the massive, centuries-long cover-up of hostile aliens, it would take a lot more than this scanner to keep the chair or anyone else on the council alive for long. Telling a lie was easy. Maintaining it was the hard part.
"You aren't armed?"
Aaron asked as they crossed the corridor, the sensors revealing their findings not only to the guards sitting on the other side of the wall, but to the people they were scanning as well.
"I didn't think there was a need," Judicus Love replied. "You're the closest thing we have to a war hero. If we can't trust you, who can we trust?"
Aaron smiled. Was her choice of words intentional?
"It's hard to have true war heroes without war, isn't it?"
"It's hard to have a war without an enemy."
"And yet we have the Centurions, and we train them to fight."
"Always be ready," Love said, using his earlier words against him.
Had she heard him say it to the valet? She hadn't been standing close by. The sensors didn't capture anything threatening, which allowed the lift doors to open by the time they reached them. Aaron and Judicus Love stepped into the cab. Love scanned her ID over the control pad and tapped to take them to the 40th level, the building's top floor.
"I have to admit," Judicus Love said, "I'm a bit of a fangirl. I've read all of your reports."
"All of them?"
Aaron replied. She half-winked in response.
"Yes."
Aaron knew everyone in the organization, but he didn't know every member of the Trust. The members kept a web of secrecy around their identities by design. She was suggesting she was part of that web, and that she knew he was too. Then again, he had figured as much. He had long suspected Chair Lamont as one of the Trust's biggest supporters. The chair wouldn't want to have to choose his words too carefully whenever a Judicus was around.
"I see," he replied. "And I have your support?"
"As long as your goals align with the needs of Proxima and Chair Lamont."
Aaron nodded. The goals of the organization were in line with those needs by default, but not everyone would see it that way. He didn't know where Lamont stood. He was about to find out. The lift reached the top floor, the doors opening into a large marble foyer. The walls were crowded with old paintings, some of which had been priceless before the invasion. Most of the artwork the settlers had brought with them was in the museum further forward in the ship, but some remained with the council, out of sight of the general public.
"This way," Love said, leading him from the foyer into a large open living space.
Aaron wasn't surprised Lamont was meeting him in his apartment rather than his offices closer to the base of the building. The public offices were all monitored. Whatever was said up here would remain up here. Theoretically, anyway. Chair Lamont was an older man, bald and overweight, with a small nose, big smile, and kind eyes that didn't reflect any of his thoughts. He was sitting in an old leather recliner, seat back and feet up, when Judicus Love and Aaron entered. Deciding not to get to his feet, he pushed the chair into an upright position and assumed what appeared to be a relaxed position, one elbow resting on the arm of the chair. The white-collared shirt beneath his gray council uniform was unbuttoned to give his paunch more room to breathe.
"Aaron," he said with a laugh. "Good of you to show up so late. We only have a few minutes before the council meeting."
"Then you should cut to the meat," Aaron replied.
"Never one to waste words. I admire that. Fine, short version. What the hell do you think you're doing?"
The vitriol behind the statement almost caught Aaron off guard. Almost,
He reacted calmly.
Do you care to elaborate, Francois?
Elaborate? You know what I mean. Sergeant Pine, Special Officer Rodriguez, the Capricorn.
I tried to stop them.
Bullshit. You helped them escape. Don't try to deny it. My people have already traced it back to you.
That was faster than I anticipated, Aaron admitted.
Lamont laughed.
You aren't the only competent person on Proxima, though it feels like you are sometimes. I'll ask again. What the hell do you think you're doing?
Pine had a wealth of intel, and you sent him packing without getting any of it. How does that help Proxima? How does that help the Trust?
I didn't use Pine for what Pine knew. I used him for what he could bring us.
Which is?
Sheriff Duke.
You have this weird fascination with that Earth savage. I don't understand it.
He isn't a savage. He came off a ship.
We have 3 minutes. Don't stall with semantics.
I've been general of the Centurion Space Force for 20 years, Aaron said. I have access to intel you don't even know exists. Intel I'm prepared to share with the Council.
I know you do. That's why you're here.
Aaron's eyebrows raised slightly. Lamont pushed himself to his feet.
That's right. I know all about the alien spacecraft headed our way. And I know what's going to happen to this planet when the population realizes we aren't alone out here. If we handle it the wrong way, there will be riots in the streets. We have to be very careful about what we reveal, how we reveal it, and when we reveal it. He paused. Or if we reveal it at all.
You want me to stay silent?
No, I want you to address the issue that led to a meeting in the first place. How did a few rogue Centurions manage to take Sergeant Pine and steal a warship on your watch, and where do you think they're going? I can help protect you, but you need to have all the answers.
My answer is the truth. We can't hide it anymore. I'm sure you saw the recording of my interview with Ike. The look on his face when I turned on him. We've tried to deny this war for as long as I've been alive, to pretend it doesn't exist at the same time we try to fight it. Nobody will be able to ignore that alien ship, especially if it slows at all.
That answer isn't acceptable. The Council needs to be as surprised by the ship as the civilians are, or they'll know we already know. They'll want more than answers. They'll want our heads.
Rightfully.
Not your decision, General. That's why I called you up here. Whatever you are going to say, stuff it. Answer the questions as the Council asks them, and then quietly take your seat.
Aaron stared at Lamont. He wasn't surprised by the request. Anyone who knew about the Relia ship was bound to be afraid, regardless of their reasons. But was there more to it than that?
What do you know about the unregistered clones? He asked.
I know to keep my mouth shut. Nothing has to change here, Aaron. I have assurances that Proxima will remain a free planet.
Assurances from whom?
It doesn't matter. We can keep things the way they are. Nothing changes. Life on Proxima goes on the way it always has.
What about the ship?
The ship will be a flash in the sky. We tell the people a comet's going to pass, and we call it a day. They won't question it unless someone gives them reason to question it.
And what about Earth?
Earth is on their own, the same way they've been for the last 200 years. We can't stop what's coming to them, and neither can they. We need to look out for ourselves. It's bad enough you sent S.O. Rodriguez to warn them. It won't make a difference to the outcome, and it got us involved. It isn't like you to make such a reckless mistake.
He paused, staring up at Aaron.
Unless it wasn't a mistake.
The Relia aren't our allies, Francois. Neither are the Axon. Whatever deal you made, whoever you made it with, it's a lie as bad as the one we keep feeding to the people.
The Trust decided on this. Keep your mouth shut about the ship and I can save your life and your career.
Aaron was silent. His heart beat calmly despite the pressure Lamont was putting him under. None of this was outside the boundaries of what he thought might happen.
I can't do it, he said. I value humans, all humans, more than I value my life.
That's a shame, Lamont replied. Judicus? Judicus Love didn't say anything, but the door to the chair's bedroom swung open, and three dark-uniformed clones stepped out, fully armed and armored. General Aaron Hyrie, Love said, I'm hereby placing you under arrest for treason against the people of Proxima. You will surrender immediately.
Aaron glanced back at Lamont, who had started buttoning his shirt. Then he looked at the three clones. They didn't have their guns drawn. Not yet. They knew he was unarmed from the scanner below. They didn't know as much as they thought. Always be ready. He was.